You are listening to The Three Musketeers by Alexandre Dumas, narrated by Charles Farrow, an audiobook by Golden Age Audio. Chapter 1. The Three Presents of D'Artagnan the Elder. On the first Monday of the month of April, 1625, the market town of Meung, in which the author of Romance of the Rose was born, appeared to be in as perfect a state of revolution as if the Huguenots had just made a second La Rochelle of it. Many citizens, seeing the women flying toward the high street, leaving their children crying at the open doors, hastened to don the cuirass, and supporting their somewhat uncertain courage with a musket or a partisan, directed their steps toward the hostelry of the Jolly Miller, before which was gathered, increasing every minute, a compact group, vociferous and full of curiosity. In those times, panics were common, and few days passed without some city or other registering in its archives an event of this kind. There were nobles who made war against each other. There was the king, who made war against the cardinal. There was Spain, which made war against the king. Then, in addition to these concealed or public, secret or open wars, there were robbers, mendicants, Huguenots, wolves and scoundrels, who made war upon everybody. The citizens always took up arms readily against thieves, wolves or scoundrels, often against nobles or Huguenots, sometimes against the king, but never against the cardinal or Spain. It resulted then from this habit that, on the said first Monday of April 1625, the citizens, on hearing the clamour and seeing neither the red and yellow standard nor the livery of the Duc de Richelieu, rushed toward the hostel of the Jolly Miller. When arrived there, the cause of the hubbub was apparent to all. A young man, we can sketch his portrait at a dash. Imagine to yourself a Don Quixote of 18, a Don Quixote without his corselet, without his coat of mail, without his cuisses, a Don Quixote clothed in a woolen doublet, the blue colour of which had faded into a nameless shade between lees of wine and a heavenly azure. Face long and brown, high cheekbones, a sign of sagacity, the maxillary muscles enormously developed, an infallible sign by which a Gascon may always be detected, even without his cap. And our young man wore a cap set off with a sort of feather, the eye open and intelligent, the nose hooked but finely chiselled. Too big for a youth, too small for a grown man. An experienced eye might have taken him for a farmer's son upon a journey had it not been for the long sword which, dangling from a leather baldric, hit against the calves of its owner as he walked, and against the rough side of his steed when he was on horseback. For our young man had a steed which was the observed of all observers. It was a bairn pony, from 12 to 14 years old, yellow in his hide, without a hair in his tail, but not without wind galls on his legs, which, though going with his head lower than his knees, rendering a martingale quite unnecessary, contrived, nevertheless, to perform his 8 leagues a day. Unfortunately, the qualities of this horse were so well concealed under his strange-coloured hide and his unaccountable gait that at a time when everybody was a connoisseur in horseflesh, the appearance of the aforesaid pony at Meung, which place he had entered about a quarter of an hour before, by the gate of Beaugency, produced an unfavourable feeling which extended to his rider. And this feeling had been more painfully perceived by young D'Artagnan, for so was the Don Quixote of this second Rocinante named, from his not being able to conceal from himself the ridiculous appearance that such a steed gave him, good horseman as he was. He had sighed deeply, therefore, when accepting the gift of the pony from Monsieur D'Artagnan the Elder. He was not ignorant that such a beast was worth at least 20 livres, and the words which had accompanied the present were above all price. "My son," said the old Gascon gentleman, in that pure Béarn patois of which Henry IV could never rid himself, "this horse was born in the house of your father about 13 years ago, and has remained in it ever since, which ought to make you love it. Never sell it. Allow it to die tranquilly and honourably of old age, and if you make a campaign with it, take as much care of it as you would of an old servant. At court, provided you have ever the honour to go there," continued Monsieur D'Artagnan the Elder, "an honour to which, remember, your ancient nobility gives you the right, sustain worthily your name of gentleman, which has been worthily borne by your ancestors for 500 years, both for your own sake and the sake of those who belong to you. By the latter, I mean your relatives and friends. Endure nothing from any